And we stand in respect of the Word of God because it is God's Word. We're privileged that we have a Bible. These people in this world would love to have a Bible. I've heard those missionaries tell of those people that had not one. And when they gave them one, they hugged it to themselves and kissed it. And even if they got a part of the Bible. And we have the Word of God, how thankful we are for that precious Word. Acts chapter 27, verse number 1. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. Now skip down to verse number 9. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, let me pause there to say the fast he's talking about in Leviticus tells us it was in the month of October, so it's in the fall, it's in getting late in the season, and bad weather's coming. All right, and I said that fast had already passed, and Paul admonished them and said unto them, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the laden and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Because the haven was not commodious, the winter in the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain unto Phoenice, and there to winter, which is in the haven of Crete, and life toward the south and west and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclyton. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive, running under a certain island which is called Claudia, and had much work to come by the boat, which when we had taken up, they used helps in undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, staked sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. When neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away." I'm going to stop reading there for right now, and let's bow our heads for a word of prayer, ask God to help us. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you today for the privilege that we have to be in the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for the precious word of God. Thank you for the songs that have been sung. And I pray, God, seal those words to our hearts and the blessing of it and stir us. I pray afresh that God's good to us, that you're always good, always do right. And we praise you and thank you for who you are and for your saving grace and mercy toward us. I pray today for those who are here that are sick in body, those that have special needs physically. And I pray, God, that divine touch of God be upon them for your glory, that you'd help them. I pray for them best I know how. I ask you then to help those that are here that have problems, difficulties, those that are going through situations, storms in their lives, that you may bless and guide and direct. Then, Father, we ask you for those that are out of the will of God, you speak to their heart. Those unsaved, that the Holy Spirit may so convict and draw by your power. I'd ask you today, Lord, be the day that precious souls would come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. Our Father, we realize that we cannot preach by ourselves. We need your help. We need divine touch. I pray for the Holy Ghost to take us, help us get self out of the way, and I pray speak to us and through us. May the Word of God go forth with power and speak as you would have it to do so, and we'll thank you and we'll praise you in what you do. Now, Lord, we realize that there'll be opposition to the Word. There'll be those that the day of evil powers that will work against the service, but how we plead the blood today and claim that victory in Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, we pray in his name and for his glory, amen. And amen, you may be seated. As you're seated and we think about this scripture that we just read, we've preached messages out of this scripture, we've preached on what kind of wind's blowing in your life. There's a calm wind mentioned here. There's a contrary wind. There's a cautious wind. There's a catastrophic wind. There's all kinds of winds mentioned here. There's four anchors mentioned. We've talked about those before. But I'm approaching it in a different way today. I want to ask you a question. And I pray that God would help us deal with this in the way that He'd have us to do so. But are you on a sinking ship? Are you on a sinking ship? Now, I'm going to use an illustration this morning that, along with the scripture, I'm preaching Bible, but this I read a book recently called The Sinking of the Titanic. And reading that book, it kept bringing to mind, I kept thinking about the Christian life. I kept thinking about life itself, period, and what it's like. And then God directed me to this scripture, and I was thinking about it. And are you on a sinking ship? Everybody's sailing this sea of life today. And God's given us this time that we were born into this world. And you know what a sea does? It separates one shore from another shore. And we're on one shore, but we're sailing now. We're coming into the world, but we're heading to another shore. Now, whether we get to that shore that is the good shore and the shore we're looking forward to, or we miss it and go down, wind up in hell instead of heaven, that's a choice that you'll have to make. But God will deal with, I pray with our hearts today about that. Let me say just a little bit about the Titanic. The Titanic was a ship built that many said in that day, the greatest ship of its day, that it could not be sunk. But it did sink, first time it ever sailed. And that was in April the 10th, 1912. It sailed from England toward the United States, had 2,430 people on it, and 1,595 perished in the Atlantic Ocean. 745 survived that tragedy of the ocean. Now, I want to talk about this today, and I pray that God would help us deal with this in connection with what we read here in the Word of God. There's a great message in it. If God will help us to get that message out to all of us, that we can see it and realize. And today as I preach, I'm reminded of the fact of how fragile life really is. We come into the world, but we don't know when we're going to leave the world. And we don't know what's going to happen on this voyage across the sea that we're on. We're traveling through life. And what's going to happen, we do not know. And fact is, we don't know what's going to happen the next minute of our life. It could be a fatal heart attack. It may be that Jesus may come and we be raptured out of here. It may be that we preach on for a few minutes and give an invitation. It may be that God so see fit, an earthquake could happen. Anything could happen. Only God knows what's going to happen. So it is with life itself. It's uncertain. We don't know about all of life, but we do know one thing for sure. Life is uncertain, and that eternity is certain. We are going to go somewhere. Everybody that boarded the Titanic was going somewhere. He's either going to survive and get on the other side and get there. So let's talk about the ocean just for a minute. And this sea of life we're sailing on. On that boat, on that ship, there was slaves that were working the boilers. There were people that were wealthy men, that were businessmen, and some traveling because of business, some simply traveling for adventure and to be on this great ship and be on that first voyage. And some were young couples, had babies, had children. Some were people that had left the old country and heading for the United States looking for a better life. There was people of all kinds. There were some preachers up on that ship. There was some that were saved, some that were unsaved. There was gamblers on it. There were those that drank. There was others that were lived Christian life. So this ship had all kinds of people on it. And they were traveling now, going to the, headed from one shore, heading to another shore. I want to remind you today again that we're heading to another shore. Everybody here is heading somewhere. Everybody in this house is either going to heaven or to hell. And you say, preacher, you ought not to preach about hell. That's what the devil told me, so I thought I better say something. Amen. Hell is a real place, and people go there that know not the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not happy about that, and it's not God's will that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. That's what God said. And so here, Paul and his crew and a centurion had the prisoners in his custody, and he was to take care of them and see that they got to Italy. They were going to Rome. And so he was taking them there, and they were sailing, and they didn't know what was going to happen, but we'll read a little bit about that in just a minute. But I want everybody to understand that this life is not all there is to it. This life will soon be over for everybody that sits under the sound of my voice. I'm reminded every time that I get up to preach that I'm preaching to somebody. I'm preaching to everybody that's there. Is somebody, and every somebody is going to wind up somewhere in eternity. And everybody that I preach to is going to have to meet God one day. And everybody someday is going to be in some kind of a storm if they're saved or unsaved. And so I'm reminded that everybody needs to hear the word of God and to be stirred by that and hear what God has to say. And so we're thinking about that and dealing with it. But I'm reminded of a scripture over in Revelation 21 and verse number 1. And the last phrase of that verse says, "And there shall be no more sea." There shall be no more sea. And that land for which we're going into heaven, there'll be no more separation. There'll be no more uncertainties. There'll be no more not knowing. But until we get there, we have those uncertainties and we have those things that we don't know about. But I'm glad I am certain of one thing. I'm certain that I'm saved and that I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah. I'm glad God saved me by his marvelous grace, birthed me in the family of God, made me a new creature in Christ, gave me eternal life, and I am bound for heaven. I'm glad for that. Now, uncertainty may happen. I don't know what kind of trials may come. I don't know what kind of situations I'll face. I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know where I'm going. I'm heading to a place, and I'm going to get there. Those people that got on the Titanic, they thought they were going to a certain place. They were counting on getting there. They had no idea they would not get there. But God intervened in that situation and something happened. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But I want to be sure that everybody understands, no matter who you are, how much money you have, how poor you may be, or how well known you are, how unknown you are, or what the world thinks about you, or what anybody else thinks, you are bound to go somewhere in eternity. Everybody that lives is going somewhere in eternity. And this morning I stand here and in fear and trembling because I realize the fact that some people will not go to heaven and some will miss heaven. I have an opportunity this morning to preach to you. I have an opportunity to tell you how to get to heaven. I pray God, the power of God and the presence of the Lord be so real and help us in preaching today that God will have his way. Now, as we look at this, let's look first of all at the overconfidence of these people. Overconfident. Look in verse 11 of our text. "Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also." Here's what they're saying. They would not believe God. Man, God's man stood and he said, "Now, we ought not to go." Now, I'll get to that, a warning in just after a while. But he's saying you ought not to do it. But they believed the owner of the ship, the master, the captain of the ship, the owner of the ship. They believed him more than they believed Paul, who was a man of God who came out there and warned them not to do that. But they wouldn't take what they needed. And so they went on anyway. And then it wasn't commodious to do so. That is, it wasn't comfortable. It wasn't the best place to stay. It didn't have the nightlife. It didn't have the places to eat. It didn't have all the good things that they were looking for, a place to stay for that winter and settle in. It didn't have that. So they decided they'd move on and travel anyway, but in spite of what they knew may happen, they decided to go anyway. That's how people are about life, about eternity, and about getting saved, getting right with God, and being ready to meet God. They're enjoying the lifestyle they're living in, fleshly and physically, and they're wrapped up in that, and therefore they're held captive to it, and they miss heeding what they ought to heed. They miss hearing what they ought to hear, and they miss doing what they ought to do. And so I pray today that God would speak to us about that, and that we would hear and not be overconfident about ourselves. We think, well, I've got tomorrow, I've got next week, I've got next year, I have a long time yet, no use. I've talked to people sometimes that'll tell me, well, I'm just young, I've got a long time yet, I don't have to worry about anything. You look at the obituary column, you'll find that young people die just like older people do. You'll find there's all ages in there. And so death's no respecter of age. And you don't know about tomorrow. You don't know when it's going to happen. Those people that got on the Titanic were overconfident. The owners of the ship was overconfident. They thought it was unsinkable. They thought that practically at least unsinkable, but most of them thought it was unsinkable. And people on the ship had no idea that what was going to happen, and they was considering that everything was going to be fine. And they got on that way, thought that way. Fact is, they never did prove it. They had a Senate hearing about the Titanic sinking, and there's a lot of things brought out and different witnesses, and these different testimonies given. But they never did prove it. But one thing was brought out was, as the owners of the ship and those that were running the ship, they wanted to set a world record for the time crossing the Atlantic Ocean. They took a shortest path. They took away that was the path they should have taken. And they were making the speed they wanted to make. They were heading to set a record. And some people running through life trying to set something for themselves and trying to be something in this world or trying to have things in this world. Whatever it is that got you captivated, and that's your God, and that's what you're looking after, and you're overconfident about that, then you need to take heed to what God's saying here today. He that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. And you can mark it down. That's the word of God. That's what the Bible says. And you can mark it down. That's right. That's exactly what will happen. It'll be a few days and full of trouble. You're either in a storm, just came out of a storm, or heading for a storm. You say, well, preacher, I haven't been storm for a long time. Just wait around. It'll come. There'll be something happen. There'll be some kind of a storm come. Life's full of it. And you'll hit something. There'll be some kind of an obstacle, some kind of a problem. Something will come up somewhere that's going to get your attention and get mine. So we're reminded of this. We don't need to be overconfident except of the fact to be confident in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can rest in Him that He's got it all under control and that He'll handle every situation that comes. You don't have to worry. It may be tragedy and the way man sees it. It may be an awful thing, but as God's in control, if we'll look unto God, He'll help us and see us through that, and we'll get some help. Amen. I'm glad that we can find help. And so here they are, and they're overcoming. They're moving on. Those men on the ship, that owned the ship that Paul was on, and they wanted to go. They wanted to travel. Most people wanted to go. They wanted to travel. They wanted to move on. They wanted to get to something they could enjoy and settle down for the winter. And those on the Titanic, they thought they could enjoy the trip, enjoy what was going on. And they had problems even from the beginning they didn't even know about. And it was under control, so there was nothing really said about it until later in testimony. They had a great store of coal on the ship because that's how the steam engines run and turn the motors to make it run. And so they had coal that had caught on fire accidentally underneath a pile. And they kept putting water on it, trying to put it out. And never did get it put out. That didn't cause a ship to sink, but it was a problem that nobody knew about. And that problem started, they found it after they got started on the ship. What I'm saying is, these problems that you don't know about, that's already started probably in your life. And these things are going to happen in your life that started that you don't know how it's going to end up, or when it's going to end up, and how, or what it's going to do. But so they had that. So I see in that, when I was reading that book and thinking about the Titanic, I could not help but think about this in the book of Acts, how those men thought they could go ahead and they could find them a place where they could winter and enjoy what they wanted to enjoy. And all people today are in sad condition, traveling the ocean of life, and they're sailing on it, but they're heading into trouble and don't realize it, and they're overconfident about what they can do and what's going to happen and how we look at things today. But now, as we look at this, I want you to see the omnipotent God, the one that has all power, the one that can take it. We're not only sailing the ocean, not only overconfident, but I want you to know there's one that has all power. Yeah. He's all, in fact, he's in control of everything. He knows it all. He says everything. I believe when they set the Titanic out and they were talking about it's unsinkable, I believe God looked down and said they don't know what they're talking about. They don't realize who I am. They're not taking in consideration that I'm God and that I have a final say about all of it. And and your life, you're not in control of your life. God has a final say about your life. You don't know what your life's going to wind up and how it's going to wind up. Only God knows that. But you need to consider and think about that, because it's the most important thing you'll ever consider is your life and what your life is about, why you're here, and where you're going. And God put you here to worship Him, to adore Him, and to give Him glory and honor and praise. God put you here that you might come to know Him and have fellowship with Him. And you're heading either to heaven or to hell. And so today I pray that God would help you to understand that and grasp that great truth and get a hold of it. I pray that God will help you do that. Now, look with me, please, in verse number 10, I read in your text. And here's Paul talking now and saying to them, "Sirs, I perceive this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the laden and ship, but also our lives. And then nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and owner of the ship." And here's a warning they got. Here, the man of God said, "I perceive." I'm telling you, this trip's going to be trouble. And they didn't believe him. They would pay no attention to him. I preach to people every Sunday. I probably preach to people hundreds and thousands throughout my life that paid no attention to what I had to say. These preachers across America preaching today, every people come into church, sit down, and they'll hear words, but they're not paying attention. And the Bible says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self." And don't be deceived. God has the last word. He will have the last word. They had warning about it, but they wouldn't heed it and paid no attention to it. On the Titanic, they had the wireless message come through and said, "There's an iceberg field that you're heading into." They paid little attention to it. They had a man in a crow's nest that was watching for it. He had no telescope. And there they were on that ship, and looking for an iceberg, knowing they were heading into it, and could have diverted, went south further, and maybe have avoided it altogether, but they didn't do that. Were they trying to set the world record? Was that their motive? Was that what drove them? Nobody really knows. Nobody really understands that. The man, as soon as he saw the iceberg, he did cry down, and the one steering the ship did try to turn it. He did try to miss it, did try to get away from it, and then it scraped the iceberg, but underneath the water where it could not be seen. Here's another great truth you need to remember. There's danger where you don't see it. These things happen where you don't know anything about. Underneath that great iceberg, it protruded way miles out. Underneath that with jagged edges on it, and the hull of that ship was ripped open. And they said that the jaw of the ship, some people didn't even feel it. And some just came on deck, looked, and it seemed to be calm. The water was calm. Everything just seemed to be all right. We just scraped an iceberg a little bit with a great ship. And they thought it'd be all right. It had an outside hull. On the inside of that, it had other watertight metal that they thought would keep it from ever taking on enough water to sink. They thought everything would be fine. And so for a little while, those in the boiler room knew something was wrong, because it ripped the side open and water began to come in where the boilers were. And there they were. This happened a little bit after 12 o'clock at midnight. Most people had gone to bed. Some were still up. Some, they said, were sitting in a room gambling. Some was doing other things on the ship. But most had gone to bed, and there they were. And some felt a joke, got up, walked up to see what was going on. Didn't know much about it. And here, Paul's ship, they're in that. And what happens to them, and they find them in verse number 14, "Not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclus." They wasn't expecting that wind to come. They didn't expect, they wanted to get where they were headed. They wasn't looking for the wind to blow that hard. They wasn't looking for the storm to come and sink the ship. They wasn't looking for that. The Titanic wasn't. They knew, they'd been warned, but they paid no attention much to it. They probably tried to look out a little better, but they really didn't try to turn away from it, but headed into that ice field. And the icebergs were further south than usual that time of year, And again, underneath the water was a real danger. And they didn't see it, but they sure hit it. It did the damage to the ship, and it began to take on water. Now, here's a tragedy of all of this. God knew what was going to happen. God knew that from the beginning what was going to happen. And God knew who'd be getting off safe, who wouldn't. But his will was for everybody to be saved, everybody to know Jesus. That ship began to tilt, and they realized there was something wrong, and some men were on deck. And here's another thing I want to point out to you. There was only 20 lifeboats on that ship, and there was 16 smaller lifeboats. There was 4 inflatable lifeboats, not near enough to take all the passengers off, not near enough to handle the crew and all that was on the ship. They were not prepared for that. And when they tried to lower the lifeboats, some wasn't familiar with it. They didn't know what they was doing, didn't know how to handle it. Some even tilted it after they got in the water, frigid water, and tilted it over. Some were lost that way. And so they were in a mess every way they turned. And then they started crying, women and children on the lifeboats. At first, they thought it was just a practice run. At first, some of them thought, well, it's just a little jolt here against the iceberg. We'll be all right. We'll get on the lifeboat. We'll go out a little while. Then we'll come back to the ship. Everything's going to be fine. That's how some people are in this life. They feel a little jolt, a little something come, and think, well, we're going to be all right. Everything's going to be okay, and we'll sail on, and everything will be fine. That's what they thought. And then they begin to realize something was bad wrong because it began to tilt more. And they realized the ship was going down. And they've got different stories about it. Some have stories of panic and disorder. Some say they stayed calm and had order. I personally believe in reading the book and testimonies they had. At some parts of the ship, they panicked. Some parts they were calm. And some parts they were doing the best they could to get people on lifeboats and get them out. And some part they panicked and wouldn't know what they were doing. But then they forced some of the men back down into the boiler rooms trying to keep the engines running, trying to save the ship. And they sealed their doom when they went down. And then after a while, after they'd used all the lifeboats, everything they could to get off, except for one inflatable boat, the boilers began to blow up and explode. Ship broke in two. It began to sink at a little after 12, about 2-something. It was going under all the way. And that great ship had sunk. The great Titanic had sailed and said, she's the greatest ship ever built. By the way, she wasn't the greatest ship ever built. The Ark was. Amen. It didn't sink. It was in a worse storm than New Rockland was. I mean, it flooded the whole world. The oceans opened up. Sky opened up. It was the worst storm ever came, and it didn't sink. You know why? Because God had that boat built. It was a safe boat and safe way to be. But what I'm thinking about the Titanic is we are the light of the world. The Bible says saved people are the light of the world. We're like the lifeboats, amen, and to help people get off. And there's not enough lifeboats in the sea, this ocean we're sailing on, to help people. Ain't not enough people involved in trying to invite people to church, trying to get people saved, trying to get people right with God. We don't have we need workers in the field. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest will send forth laborers into the harvest, amen. And so as those 700 and some got picked up by another ship. Another ship heard the distress call. Half hour later, they called back and said, what's your problem? And they didn't really rush to the rescue. Though that reminds you of us as Christians. We hear a faint cry, but we don't really rush to the rescue. We don't really get too concerned about it. But oh, today my heart cries. And I prayed for and asked and begged God to save some folk. And I pray that God today will speak to your heart and draw you to his side. I pray today God do something to help you. I love you. I care about people. I want to see people get saved and born in the family of God. Here with the ship Paul was on, now they had help because Paul was on that ship. And he told them they didn't have lifeboats, but he said swim ashore or get on a plank, get a board, get something somehow and get out. But on the ship of the Titanic, as she went down, they said the band stood on the deck
and played near my God to thee. And there were people praying. There were people on their knees. There were people trying to God. There were people in the ocean that was crying out for some of the lifeboats come pick them up. They so crowded in the lifeboats they couldn't get anybody else on. Some trying to get on, they turned the boat over. And so they were in a mess and trouble. Hey, listen, there's going to be people crying, screaming in hell one day. I wish I'd have gotten on the ship of Zion. I wish I'd have heard the cry of the captain, Jesus, and said, come on board. Hey, today Jesus is calling, come on board my ship. Get on board the old ship of Zion. Sail safely. Amen. I may hit a storm today. I may hit a storm tomorrow. Hey, maybe some tragedy come in my life. But I know what ship I'm on. I'm not on the Titanic. I'm not on the ship that Paul was on. I'm on the old ship of Zion, made by God himself, headed toward glory. I say hallelujah. I'm glad today the old ship of Zion will never sink. She won't go down. And one day we're going to dock on the other side in heaven and shout hallelujah. Home at last, home at last. I say glory, glory, glory. I'm glad I'm saved. But there's others sailing this ocean of life. And they're not on the old ship of Zion. Someday there's going to be a tragedy hit. Someday your heart's going to stop. Someday something's going to happen. The rapture take place. Jesus will come and get us. And you're going to cry, I wish I'd have been on the boat. I wish I'd have been with Jesus. I wish I'd have gone on the old ship of Zion. Hey, listen, watch. Are you on a sinking ship today? I'm not. My ship's not going to sink. Because Jesus Christ will never fail me. He'll never let me go. He'll never let me go under. But all today, what kind of ship are you on? Say, oh, preacher, my ship's all right. I'm sailing along pretty good. I'm getting along okay. I'm doing all right. But, oh, you don't know that. You don't know that. We think we are, but we don't know. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. And thank you, Father, as we think about sailing the ocean of life, as we think about going from one shore to another shore, help us, Lord, today to rejoice in the fact that we're on the old ship of Zion headed to heaven. One day we'll land on the shore of sweet deliverance. And thank you, Heavenly Father, one day we'll be at home with Jesus. One day we'll be in heaven. Thank you. I praise your name. It's all because of you and your grace, mercy toward us. We don't deserve it, but you give it to us. And we thank you. Then, Lord, I pray for those today that's in the house of God. They're not saved. They're not on this old ship of Zion. They're on a sinking ship. It's going down. They need help. I pray today they can hear the call of Jesus. I pray the Holy Spirit make it surreal to their heart. They can hear that call to repent and believe and trust Jesus Christ. I pray today, Lord, for every person in this house that's unsaved. I pray for every person in the house that's been saved and yet they're falling afar off. They're not resting as they should in Christ Jesus. And I pray, God, that you'd help them. You know our need today. You know exactly what's going to happen the rest of the day, tomorrow, and the days to come if you allow us to live. But, Father, I pray right now, this moment, this time, help us all do what we wish we'd have done when we stand in eternity one day. We pray in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking, please.